It's a really, really steep hill.
I've walked it. I understand.
200 feet of elevation.
Sir, I've walked it myself, and in all probability, it will have some kind of access, if only for emergency vehicles. That's the really critical thing.
It's an illegal crossing as well.
Pardon?
It is not in accordance with the National Transportation Safety Board highway crossing.
It remains to be seen when and if it comes to the planning board.
Sorry, to be clear, does all this property to the person that owns the place close to you, Brooke, who's willing to sell her property, and she owns a shop downtown in Clinton?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Well,
let's get into that kind of stuff.
There are some sites that approached us to develop them for affordable housing.
So in one of the I've got like three more slides. I know this has been an exciting presentation. So we're almost there.
Do you have a site plan for the Headley?
We do not yet. It's such a massive development. It's still in a bit of a state of flux.
So this is similar to an image that was shown before. I know everybody or almost everybody's familiar with the area we're talking about. Again, this is the 108 Alton Place site. The other site that we had to consider was the golf course itself, this 40-acre parcel. The township, obviously, as Councilman Millay mentioned, did not entertain this. I mean, we considered it because we had to, but it didn't go beyond that. But just so you're aware, these are one of the sites that came online that we had to think about and I think helps justify why we selected some of the other sites. So in this case, we may have had to select this, and they would have developed about, I think, 11 holes of the course, or however many are in the southerly area of the golf course.
They had just briefly said, you know, it would be a 9-hole. I don't know if that means – I'm not a golfer, but I don't know if that means pitch and putt or 9 holes would remain. It's actually about 70 acres, just a little over 70 acres,
and a lot more units.
It is still for sale for some purpose. I don't know if it'll be picked up as a golf course or if they'll try to do something else with it. But they've lost money for many years, and American Golf out in Santa Monica would like to sell it. And it's been in the market for, gosh, 3-4 years at least.
I think there's two of the same slides, so sorry if you had. So we'll go 25, 26. So this is another development that was considered known as the Ronquist Tract. I believe it's about 96 acres, somewhere thereabouts, right at?
94, 96.
Just northwest of the intersection of Route 31 South in Allerton. And as you can see, this is a fairly dense development. They had started with over 500 units and whittled it down to about 401 units that you're seeing here. And as opposed to being able to disperse those units over the site, they're clustered due to environmental constraints. So to the bottom left of the page, you see a cluster of townhouses, and to the top right, you see a fairly dense multifamily development with obviously not much green space in between and not much room at all.
Four-story buildings, if I recall.
Taller buildings than every other project that we've contemplated, and if you consider only the developable area, which was the metric we've used in considering all of the sites, that would have yielded a density of about 20-plus units per acre. So obviously way more dense than we were entertaining or would be willing to entertain.
And, Tom, this one is very problematic. It's a highly environmentally sensitive lot. All that blue is wetlands. They would have been more dense except when we went into highlands. Those rules require greater distance buffers from water courses. But this would impact not just Allerton Road, but it would also impact folks Whispering Hills going all the way up to Regional Road by the high school. That's where utilities would have to come from. Small consideration, but we just did all those roads, so they'd have to get dug up for water and sewer. It would be a mess that way. The numbers on this project originally began at 580 units with only 90 affordable. They're now down to 401 units with 80. This is a group, the same developer that was active in Clinton Town, David Meiskin and friends, and they're basically waiting. They were interveners in our action in front of the court in Somerville and are still very if anything slips, they'll press their way in. They're just waiting to, you know, sort of foist this on us.
Pardon? Two more. So, Brian, if you wouldn't, unless anyone has anything more on this. Let's go. So anyway, in trying to get toward the finish line here, with regard to the process, as again I mentioned, the township had acted in terms of settling with Fair Share Housing Center. There was the court order and the court approval of that settlement agreement. We adopted the housing plan. We're here to discuss the adoption of various affordable housing ordinances. We are under the court deadline, which is rapidly approaching. We have a compliance hearing at the end of this year, 2018, which the date has yet to be determined. But by that date, we have to have all of these tasks, including the adoption of affordable housing ordinances, wrapped up by then. They have to be completed. Following that, there will be a fairness hearing as to how the township has proceeded and complied with that court order. As I mentioned before, every site included in the plan must be able to obtain sewer and water capacity. Several sites already have that. The ones that do not at this point are the Alton Place site and are the Headley Farm Estate site. And so until they are able to acquire that capacity, they're not able to come with a development plan. So we are looking at some time horizon. When that may be is...
It's a little complicated in that if I go down through the sites... Beaver Avenue, the Ingerman project, has everything they need. They're about ready to start construction. The Marukian site is next in line. They're on Route 31 South, as Tom mentioned. They have water and sewer. So they're set. They have preliminary planning board approval, not final. They've applied for tax credit financing. We expect to understand whether they get that financing or not in the fall, in about November. If they don't, they have another year, another bite at the apple. The next site for priority purposes is the LeCompte site, another 100%er. They have, when we adopt this bond ordinance, they will have all the sewer they need for that project, but there's no water. The next one in line is, Headley Farm, and the last one in line is Alton's Place. So there's a good number of years, I think, before Alton Place will be in a position to acquire capacity, all that they need. And for those of you that don't know, you can't even apply to the planning board without the elements that are necessary for health and well-being, water, sewer, electric, all those kinds of things. So they're going to have to, you know, just sit on their haunches until their turn is up for that. And it's hard to predict how many years it's going to be, but it's more than one or two.
Absolutely. And so I think we'll take questions. We're very close. Unless
I don't think we're going to take questions. I think we'll go through each ordinance.
Yeah.
Almost there. Almost there.
Okay.
So
you're doing
real quick.
Great.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So anyway. So the mayor mentioned the issues with capacity, and again, there will be a site plan process, which is a public process before the planning board. Every property within 200 feet of whatever particular site will be noticed well in advance, of the development of any issues and with a meeting date if they choose to attend and have any input with regard to the details or just wish to observe the progress of that plan.
Good.
One more.
Okay.
Well, anyway, just to reiterate a few points. Our attempt here with all of these developments and affordable housing ordinances was to try to achieve some sense of consistency in terms of density, the required design features, the bulk criteria, and as we explained, the township had this massive obligation that they were able to whittle down. We used all of the possible tools at our disposal to try to achieve, one, total compliance with the plan, but also have the lowest impact to the community. And really what we believe we've achieved is sort of the best case scenario at this point. Again, given the circumstances, these sites had to be available. They had to have adjacency to certain infrastructure and utilities. They had to be devoid of environmental constraints. So it was really, we weren't given a whole lot to work with and yet had this huge obligation to try to satisfy. So with that,
I'm sorry.
So with that, I believe we can entertain comments or if
we're going to open public hearing.
So just procedurally, because we have to hold a public hearing on each ordinance individually, everyone will have a chance to speak, to ask questions, but we're going to have to go through ordinance by ordinance rather than just taking global comments and questions. Otherwise, we won't have complied with our procedural and legal requirements.
Ask the same question five or six times.
I can't help what the law requires, sir. I recognize that there are times where that's not necessarily efficient, but we have to do what the law requires.
Sorry to interrupt. The one thing that wasn't mentioned at all of this, and that's finding a builder that's going to see possibility in these projects.
Builders are required to demonstrate financial feasibility in front of the courts.
They're going to have to make money building these projects.
Of course, yeah.
That's one of the issues in development, right?
Can you scoot the table?
Okay.
Yes, if you want to scoot the table, they can scoot at the table.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your time.
All right. So now we're going to move into. You guys are very nice. No, really, it's considerate.
Next time.
Okay. Okay. We're going to move into the ordinance adoption phase now, and we will take Alton Place first. Let me just make sure I got the right one here.
Yeah.
1120. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sort of mumbling to myself, getting our paperwork straight. There's always a lot of paper on this stuff. Okay. We are going to talk about Ordinance 1120-18. This is an ordinance of the Township of Clinton amending Chapter 165 Code of the Township of Clinton by creating the AH6 and the AH7 affordable housing zoning districts to facilitate affordable housing developments on 108 Alton Place, it's block 79.07, lot 1, and a plus or minus 9-acre portion of the LeCompte property, which is known as block 29, lot 4, amending the Clinton Township zoning map and schedule of zoning requirements accordingly, and correcting the section numbers in Article 22B, AH5 Affordable Housing District. So we can move. Let's go ahead. We'll move the LeCompte piece to the end, and we'll just wade into Alton Place. Does council have any questions, comments to make at this point?
Just set some guidelines.
Yeah. Again, let's try to get everybody who has a question up here and try as best we can to reserve that roughly 5-minute time frame. And, try to be courteous. There's going to be some back and forth on this, and let's all try to do this in a good way.
John,
I'll talk more loudly. Please.
I have a question. So if 108 Alton Place happens, does it make it less likely that a similar development would happen on those 9 holes of the golf course?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And can you extrapolate on that? It almost protects that?
It helps because if we take a development out, then we would have to substitute a second one. But we would have a very difficult time taking a development out. We've pleaded with the court. The court has issued an order accepting our plan. So it would have to be some really, substantial unknown problem.
You misunderstand. If 108 is developed and there's houses there,
right
down the road, would it be harder to to develop that
right.
9-8?
Right. I thought you were talking about substitute.
Yeah. No, not at all.
No, it helps to put that off and helps to ensure that doesn't happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they want to sell it, and they want to develop it.
Yeah.
So that property has already been purchased by...
Please.
We'll get to all your questions.
We do time. I'm busy shuffling through my darn paper. There is one piece of paper that, for some reason, I...
Mayor, would it help if I have the...
Please.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that it gets into the record that this ordinance was referred to the Planning Board for review after its introduction. This is as required by the Municipal Land Use Law. The Planning Board reviewed the ordinance. It determined that there were no inconsistencies between the ordinance and the township's master plan. Mm-hmm. It had a couple of non-substantive revisions that it recommended that the council consider. One was throughout the regulations, I think this applies in both the AH6 and the AH7, that wherever it refers to basements, that be changed to basements or cellars. And then there was also a suggested revision specific to Alton Place. A couple, and I think there's a handout that the clerk left for the council members and for members of the public that shows what those suggested revisions are, and it has across the top in a header, proposed revision to Alton Place requirements for those of you in the public. But basically rewording what the maximum building height is for the multifamily building. So not changing what the limitations are, but just trying to clarify the language so that it's easier to figure out what that provision was trying to say. And then I think the final proposed change was to correct what seems to have been almost like a Scrivener error in terms of the setbacks from the boundary lines. It reads currently 40 feet from St. Ledger Way when what was intended was consistent 50-foot setbacks from all boundary lines on Alton Place. So those would be the changes.
I apologize for interrupting. Does anyone here drive a white Mercedes SUV? C64, CX4?
6K.
Okay, apparently it parked up against the car that I'm assigned, and she needs to do a correction. Apparently you hit the car. So.
Sir, you have just to be clear, you have a question you'd like to answer, so we'll hold open the public hearing.
Okay, no, I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize for that.
So, Mayor, I think those changes, for the benefit of the Mayor and the Council, these are not the substantial types of changes that would warrant reintroducing the ordinance, so that if the council wanted to make those revisions that were suggested, it could proceed and do so tonight and still adopt the ordinance with those revisions. So with that in the record.
Okay. And do we need to opine on those now, or do we do...
No, because I think you want to give the public an opportunity to weigh in during the public hearing. So I think it's at the close of the public hearing, before you vote on the ordinance, that's when you would want to take up whether to make these changes.
Okay. So let's open the public hearing on Alton Place. Please. And again, please.
Get the book. I'm exactly 5 minutes.
We're not that tough. Please just put your name down so we know who you are, and it'll help us.
Frank Wolfson, 9 Forsgate Terrace.
Wonderful.
I'm glad Alton Place is at the bottom of the totem pole.
I'm sure we couldn't hear you.
Can you take these on?
Yeah.
It should be.
I'm glad Alton Place is at the bottom of the totem pole. Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, I sincerely thank Mayor Higgins and the council members for addressing and implementing the important need for available housing in Clinton Township, my backyard. I wish I had this when I was a kid growing up in Newark. I'm pleased to see there are multiple affordable housing sites within our township, and I know that the ensuing discussions of who gets water, sewer, and when will be quite interesting. However, I am glad that we have the opportunity to put our efforts into the more realistic sites to build a greater number of affordable units than spend an inordinate amount of time, energy, and funds on those sites which, by design, will not be able to satisfy the affordable housing needs of the individuals and the families. I believe it is not in the best interest of the residents of the town of Clinton's Alton Place community the interest of Clinton Township's Fairways community, nor the interest of the future residents of the proposed 108 Alton Place project to build out the 108 Alton Place project. I believe it's inefficient to create an AH6 affordable housing zoning district to facilitate affordable housing developments on the 108 Alton Place lot. I think it's misplaced as proposed. I feel that Alton Place does not belong in the township as compared to the other sites. Affordable housing is needed. Our time, energy, and funds would be better served in developing the proposed sites, which offer a greater number of affordable housing units and also afford the new residents a less dense environment. 108 Alton Place represents approximately 8% of the proposed affordable housing units, while Marukian, Lecompte, Headley make up the balance. In addition, 108 Alton Place will be built between two existing high-density townhouse developments, thus dramatically adding to the overall high volume of traffic on St. Ledger, the only street feeding 108 Alton Place, and puts into question the general safety of the residents of the three developments walking the area with the dramatic increase in traffic. I think it's interesting to note that the Beaverbrook Golf Club's offer, part of the presentation, which was quite good, to develop 40 acres of a 140-acre site was not selected for a variety of reasons stated in the housing element and fair share plan adopted. The reason which I feel most relates to 108 Alton Place is concentration of townhouse development in this particular area was perceived as an encroachment on the established surrounding neighborhood. Ultimately, the 108 Alton Place site was selected as a better alternative given its location, lot config, and proposed concept, and is only bound by two other townhouse developments to the east and the west, end of quote. However, Alton Place comprises 124 units, Fairways comprises 135, for a total of 259. Just to note, the two developments near the golf course, Round Top for 136, Masters for 69, totaling 205 units, which is 20% less units. My suggestions concerning 108 Alton Place are, one, if possible, dramatically decrease the proposed density of 108 Alton Place through a major reduction of the total number of units while increasing the number of affordable housing units. I think it's a fair. Or remove 108 Alton Place from the plan, again, if possible, and concentrate the water and sewer efforts on the sites affording more and reasonable affordable housing units. For these reasons, I respectfully request that Mayor Higgins and the council reject this ordinance and vote no on its adoption, and then remove 108 Alton Place from our affordable housing plan. And I consider it our affordable housing plan. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Next up, please.
My name is Stan Benson. I live at 42 Westgate Drive. My concern, I'm assuming that we have to meet the obligation, so somehow or another this has to come to pass. And I have a couple of questions or concerns. One is understanding the basic economics of it. I'm assuming that a developer is basically going to have to make some premium locations to cover the cost of the subsidized housing, the low-cost housing. And given that requirement, my concern is, will these low-cost units tend to be clustered in one little place and kind of get a ghetto stigma, or is there some way that we can use planning and zoning ordinances to try and have them integrated in such a way and have a requirement that requires that the outside of these units look very desirable, because I think most of us, and certainly I'm very concerned about the property values of the associated community. And is there anything we can do to try and help meet our requirement and do it in such a way that these units that are subsidized and presumably have less expensive components that make them more affordable, can they be blended in such a way so that they aren't necessarily sore thumbs sticking out and bringing a negative stigma to the projects?
So it's a
go right ahead.
It's a concern I share, and it's a concern that I think we all shared with the Beaverbrook Homestead development. And I think you saw how that one turned out as far as the requirements we set upon them for aesthetics and such. The zoning ordinance really just doesn't address that. It's intended more, Tom, you can speak to it, I think, better. It's really intended for...
There's several goals when it comes to affordable housing. So in terms of distribution, you're right. You typically don't want to cluster everybody into the same area. So that's why we found different sites where you try to distribute them into different buildings. And there is that aspect of feasibility. So in this case, the plan as it is now would include the affordable units distributed through the two multifamily units that are shown on the concept plan. So the townhouses would remain market rate units. The affordable units would be contained entirely in the multifamily units, which would also include market rate units. So there would be some called mixing of market, in terms of the inclusionary development. And you talked about the financial feasibility. Part of the need to do the multifamily approach as opposed to mixing them into townhouses deals directly or is directly a result of that in terms of making the project work. So this is, again, working out the numbers and, in a lot of cases, we're cutting it really close in terms of making things fly.
To address aesthetics, one would not do so through the zoning ordinance that we're looking to adopt.
Well, we have certain parameters that were left or designed to be somewhat general, so they might seem that, they're not very specific, but at the same time, they would give a planning board some teeth to hold an applicant to that and make sure that they comply at least with a minimum and point to other projects and to understand the intent of the housing plan and these ordinances to, again, hold them to that higher standard of design quality. So in that respect, I would think that whatever results at Alton Place or elsewhere would very much fit in with the character of the township and surroundings.
Just in terms of the quality of the furnishings and whatnot, the unit cost on Beaver Avenue for one of those apartments averages $240,000. They're required to install, of course, central air and everything, but Energy Star appliances, et cetera, et cetera. In order to garner the preferred financing, the state has a set of regulations that drive folks in that direction. So plus in an inclusionary apartment building, the units typically don't stay – the units are interchangeable. If somebody's income grows up over 140% while they're in that sort of rent-controlled apartment, the next apartment that opens up has to be declared affordable. So all of the units in an affordable and market mix like that should logically be built, identically. The rules there are fairly well thought out for New Jersey, I think.
So how is that subsequent unit subsidized economically? Does the township through a tax base accommodate that?
The developer is – remember, you
– So the owner of the building who actually has so many units, they have to basically mark up the rent on all the other ones to basically cover the cost of the subsidized
units. When somebody
unit.
Hits that 140%, they're allowed to more steeply increase the rents, but still, you've got somebody with a very handsome income. At that point, you're above the median income for the whole area. You've got somebody with a very handsome income taking up an apartment.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The market rates cover is the general answer.
Well, yeah.
The market rates cover.
Yes, I'm not a builder or developer myself, but from having seen these developments elsewhere, my understanding is, yes, the rates on the amount that the market rate units rent for gets boosted up a bit to compensate for the affordable units.
Yeah. Well, I think ultimately a lot of that will be beyond our control and is subject to the market. But if I may, just finishing up, obviously all these projects have to be approved by the board and the council. Mm-hmm. If I can simply ask that you do what you can to try and only approve plans that really add value to the community, are aesthetically desirable, and done in such a way that it's not obvious we've just got this little cluster of for lack of better words, eyesore. And
yeah, no, I mean, in a funny way, you know, the layout reflects the current Alton Place property in that the affordable units are clustered up toward the north end of it, just as it is in the current development, and the townhouses are, you know, down more toward the southern end. The setbacks, whether it's back-to-back or side yard, are, if they're not identical, they're virtually identical to the current Alton Place development. The objective was always to ensure that this blends in. It feels, you know, after the foliage grows back up after a couple of years and fills out, that it looks and feels like the current development.
And I would just add that some of these projects, particularly ones like this Alton Place, are going to take quite a while as these steps get approved to actually get before the planning board. So do keep your eyes and ears out for when that planning board hearing could be years down the road. But that's really the point where you'll see detailed drawings and those aesthetics that you can go in and say, this isn't.
That's where we fight about
fix this, fix that, and improve this, or I like it, or I don't like it. That's the real form. That's what I was trying to get at earlier, or that sort of thing. So.
I'll give you a quick example. You may love these units, you may hate them, but the project on Beaver Avenue will be built by Ingerman Homes. We've been down to the new Costco in Flemington. Across the street next to the Flemington department store, sort of barn, that's also a project built by Ingerman. The building sizes and shapes are very, very close to what's there. They liked, I think it's brick, it's a tan color. Annandale being what it is, we like clapboards, and not just like cedar clapboards, they're hardy plank. So they'll look very nice. And we like the kind of overhangs, the kind of, you know, that off-white color that fits with the village. So that's what they're building. And we have the ability, I think, to very significantly influence the look and the feel of the buildings.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to add one thing to that, and great comments and questions so far. I did mention before that there would be required 50-foot setbacks from the buildings to the property lines. I probably should have elaborated on that. There will be a distance of a minimum of 200 feet from the building to Alton Place, so that existing vegetation and the slope will generally remain undisturbed. So chances are you're not going to see anything from Alton Place. We'll also have a 100-foot required distance from Country Club Drive, again, to the nearest building. So whatever vegetation, there's still a buffer. There will be landscaping. The site won't be invisible. I'm not going to tell you that. But it'll be less observable on those roads. To your point about aesthetics and impact, visual impact, it will be minimized by these components.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to come up and make comments, please.
Where were the three-story buildings?
To the north of the property. I could show you real quick.
How many are there?
Buildings?
No.
Well, let's
do it. We have to have one person come up at a time so the mic picks it up. And
My name is Ruth Wolfson, and I live at Firestone Drive, which will directly impact my leaving my house when I go to St. Ledger Way to go to Country Club Drive. It just seems to me, objectively, it's very lovely. However, practically, multi-story buildings are not really part of our community, and density, like you're talking about, doesn't sound like a lot of green space in between. Doesn't seem like it's a lot of open space and greenery, and I don't see how it's going to enhance the community or blend in.
So, Tom, you can confirm, but the building heights and stories are similar to the surrounding area. I don't think we have anything that's...
That's my understanding. The whole goal is to make it consistent with the surrounding development.
And
the townhouses are the...
They're not two stories high.
The townhouses are 2.5 stories, just like everything. Everything else in there. The one exception are the two buildings, the apartment buildings in the back. They are three stories.
Three stories?
Where?
Three.
The apartments, the multifamily.
Oh, well, units. But that changes the whole character of the neighborhood as it appears now.
Mm-hmm. Well, to add to that, they're also at the lowest point of the property.
Right.
They will have that pretty substantial 200-foot buffer to the north. I understand your point, but the rest of the development will be here. That part of the development will be here, so that height will be minimized to some extent. I understand your point, and your point about density is, you know, again, this
fairways
is about...
Fairways is spacious and has how many homes? I'm not sure, 130? And this is going to be a smaller tract of land that's going to have 120 acres.
It'll be 140 units over 16-plus acres. So, again, 8 units per acre, which turns out to be slightly less than the neighboring.
Slightly less.
Well, than the neighboring development.
Yes.
Oh, I understand.
Thank you.
Any next person, please. Please.
Are we going to be able to talk about the Hadley Farm at this time?
When we get to that ordinance on the agenda, right now we're limited to the Alton Place and the LeCompte ordinance.
Hi, I'm Robin Adams. I live at 37 Inverary Place. I want to thank you, first of all, for the opportunity for everybody to be able to speak about this and the very thorough presentation. Thank you on the planning on this. I have a couple of overreaching questions, not specifically necessarily about Alton Place. What are the consequences to the township if you fail to build the required number of units in the time frame described?
There's two ways to look at that situation. If we fail, if we refuse to do something, if we refuse to execute, for instance, then the courts take over. And I think it was South Brunswick that resisted for a bit, and the judge basically said, okay, here's your obligation. It's 1,500 units. And by the way, tell the planning board to stay home. My special master will determine what gets built and where. So if we falter as a township governing body
intentionally
and just sort of stop things, that's what would happen.
And the people making those decisions don't live in this township like we do.
Well, no, it's the
right.
Judge Miller in Somerville.
And didn't that also happen in Princeton?
No, they were...
My P's mixed up.
Princeton and one other town were party to the Mercer County lawsuit.
Right.
And that's where the Mary, what's her name?
Jacobson.
Jacobson, thank you, determined what the formula was. And I think Princeton was in the 757 range, and the other town was about... Oh, gosh.
It's West Windsor. Their number hasn't been finalized because there's a whole question as to whether they're subject to a 1,000-unit cap on their obligation. Yeah, they're in a different boat.
But the numbers are
substantial.
I think the
question more relates probably to a durational adjustment.
If it's a durational adjustment and we simply don't have the utilities, the way the agreement reads, and it is fairly turgid for I'm an engineer, I'm a lawyer, so... We could do take a number of actions. We could rezone another parcel.
That would also have to have access to sewer and water.
Correct.
So there's no sewer and water available.
Well, since we only have one supplier of sewer and water, there won't be any other parcel that's more advantaged than the ones in our plan. So if water and sewer become available, there would be no reason, no logic to move off to another parcel. If water and sewer are not available, then this durational adjustment concept kicks in which we basically sit on our hands until it is available.
Okay. And I assume that the current plans have taken into account all possible parcels of land, even privately owned right now, that if another parcel were to come up for sale before development begins on one of these, and it turns out to be a more desirable parcel, would the would the council consider relooking at that?
The question is more appropriately, would the judge consider a substitution? And we would end up in a pretty nasty lawsuit.
Okay.
You know, it's we're far enough along now where we said to the courts, here's our plan. We think it's a great one. The judge has said, through his special master, who's a planner, like Tom, professional planner, has looked at it and said, yeah, this all makes sense. To try to substitute at this point would be very, very difficult. We've been through that, the fairness hearing. The next step, the compliance hearing, what it does is basically tell the judge, the township is actively taking steps to implement the plan that you endorsed, and we expect, if you agree with that, that we'll have a judgment of repose. We'll be protected from that intervener that wants to put 400 or 500 units off of Allerton Road, for instance. They won't be able to jump in. So it would be very, very difficult, I think, to change this plan now or substitute. But back to the original part of it, we've looked very hard at properties that were practical. And remember, a parcel, in order to be feasible, parcel's got to be 5 or 6 acres. The developable area at Beaver, which is the smallest of the 100% projects, is about the disturbed area is about 5.5 acres. The parcel on Marukian is 6, and that's tight. So you gotta find a 5-acre parcel that makes good sense, is buildable, and has utilities. And those are few and far between at any kind of a price that's affordable. If there's 1 or 2, 3 acres, you'd have to make an assemblage, which is very difficult. I think all of us that have participated in the preparation of this plan, we've all sat on the maps and looked at the tax maps, looked at the Highlands map is really a terrific tool. It shows an awful lot of data in terms of where wetlands are and water buffers and all that. So we've spent hours and hours and hours, I know I have, going through the different parcels that might be practical, but then you find there's water protection buffers that, you know, take it out of question. So it's a tough process, or you find it's not served and it's not anywhere near being served by public utilities.
Okay, and one final question. You had brought up the idea of whether or not building 108 Alton would forestall the owners of the golf course trying to develop that. If I understood correctly the answer, you're saying that they would not be allowed to develop it if that
we would,
were built?
Because we are satisfying our needs, it would be very difficult for them to use something called the builder's remedy lawsuit. It's like that's a situation where town, for whatever reason, hasn't satisfied its obligations. If we're in a situation like that, if we pulled Alton Place out or said, you know, we give up, we're not going to do it, well, the first thing that would happen is we'd get sued, and the judge would not be happy with us. But the intervener that's already waiting, the guy on down on Allerton, would jump
in. Elaborate on what an intervener is for the room.
Okay.
I think that's an important point.
An intervener, we put a plan together. There are other developers that are interested. I get calls all the time from Toll Brothers, for instance. The golf course people, this individual, Meiskin, down on Allerton Road. They're people that want to develop. And until we got to the fairness hearing, we had to consider every proposal, whether it was, you know, whether you looked at it and said, this is crazy, or whether you really thought about it. We had to talk to them. We had to consider it. We had to make a judgment on it and evaluate it. So the golf course, to be honest, has gone quiet. I know it's back in the market, but I don't know, you know, really how they're pushing it or anything of that sort. This fellow Meiskin showed up at the fairness hearing as an intervener who wanted to push our projects out and push his in. And we defended that. That's an actual trial. And the judge's special master and ultimately the judge agreed that our plan was more appropriate than putting his proposal forward. So as long as we satisfy the plan and get the units underway as per our agreement with the court and fair share housing, that's an excellent defense. It's somebody else trying to muscle their way in.
Okay. It still doesn't prevent the owner of the golf course from putting single-family homes there if they so choose.
I think it does. I think, okay. You know, there. I've not completely reviewed. I'll back up. The whole Beaverbrook complex has a very long history, a lot of litigation, a lot of different zoning requirements. But so perhaps they could file. The township would then oppose, I think. You know, it gives us, it doesn't give them like a special ability to jump in because they can wave the affordable housing flag. They just become another person that wants to develop.
A builder's remedy lawsuit, the builder has the ability, if the court approves, to overturn the township's zoning.
Correct.
Which may currently be prohibiting that kind of development that you're talking about.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Please, help.
My name's Peter Walsh, and I'm at Hickory Court. And my concern is just on the face of it, the consideration of a site that you're talking about building smack dab in the middle of what is already a mature development. I mean, Beaverbrook as a whole is now 20 years old. And over those 20 years, hundreds and hundreds of families have moved in and out. And any one of the hundreds of households that have moved in over those 20 years had the reasonable expectation that whatever green space they saw around them would remain so. And now it just seems like after 20 years now, the rug's being pulled out from under us.
Well, and Trishka, you help me on this, because a property owner has certain rights. Mary Kaler has, 16.17 acres of land that she now wants to monetize for whatever reason. And on both sides are what is considered high-density housing in our township, as opposed to, you know, five-acre lots or something. So it would be very difficult. I think the individual involved, John Kerwin, is one of the principals, is a highly litigious individual. He part of his history includes being part of the group that waged a very long battle with the Bedminster Planning Board for the Hills. You probably know this from, I'm assuming some of the stuff was brought up at a couple of meetings you might have had. And he also was a principal in the action in Lebanon Borough with those presidential towers at Cokesbury Road, Route 22.
And he started out as an intervener in our
correct
trial. And his initial proposal was for how many units?
Oh, I've heard numbers as high as 400. We encountered him at a legal action, and his complaint against us was dismissed on summary judgment and got tossed. So he had to get back in line like everybody else.
Just to interrupt quickly, has she already sold the property, or is it just in consideration of she's selling to him?
From what I know, it's under option, and you'd have to have an awful lawyer in a situation like this not to have it under an option agreement. And, of course, you probably are aware of tortious interference, so there's no way that the township could monkey around with that contract without, again, getting sued.
Yeah. Does the development, though, get any consideration for the commitment they've already made to affordable housing originally?
I'm sorry,
I mean, the Beaverbrook community, you're now talking about putting more affordable housing in there. We've already put affordable housing in Beaverbrook as a whole previously, and now we're...
I don't think there's any affordable housing.
No.
I'm
sorry, yes.
Well, they're actually...
Yeah, I got you.
Each township is, right. Gets its own obligation, so...
Yeah. There actually are, I mean, I hate to contradict, but there are a few units without controls, which go way back to the beginning of time, and they happen to exist. They were early apartment units that were renting very low to begin with, so at the time they counted, but it's a very small number.
And just lastly, and this is just, I'm asking sure. your opinion. If we take the Beaverbrook Golf Course out of the affordable housing question, is it your opinion that it's more likely that the new owner would maintain it as a golf course? Is that the likely sale to be a golf course?
I think whether they would like to maintain it that way or not, it gives us more leverage to assure that it remains in a, you know, in an undeveloped state at least. You know, it strengthens our hand if we come to an argument.
Right. Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. This thing won't shut up. Oh, it's not making you. Good.
My name is Martin Wolfson. I live at 10 Firestone Drive. One question, curb cuts. How many curb cuts would be proposed for access to that property?
Two.
On St. Ledger?
Two.
And the house that Mary lives in would remain there?
That's correct. She would remain as is, and her drive would go into the new roads.
Into the a driveway would go into the new road that would come out to St. Ledger?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because, again, one of the good things about entering the Highlands, I think, in this instance, is it preserves 2 acres at the north end of the property. That's our current exit. That would have to be closed.
Okay. The second question I have is, doesn't there have to be a builder that would come along, any of these properties? He's in it for profit, mm-hmm. he or she. And it seems to me that the profitability would be much greater with non-differential, in other words, whole affordable housing, than one with mixed affordable housing, because the higher end housing takes up much more space. Yes, they get more for it initially, but it takes up much more space. The density of the entire project is not what's at issue. The density of the project that is just for affordable housing is what is mm-hmm. where the money is for the builder.
It no, because again, I'll give you an idea of the rents. You'll just have to forgive me because I have so many papers.
I was going to ask you that. What would be the prices of these? Proposed prices?
The rents vary greatly depending upon one's income, and now that's the income limit I have. Just one moment.
There's only 28 units.
28 units, but for a one-bedroom apartment, the number can go as low as $500 in the lowest income.
Okay.
And at the highest income level, about 80% of the median for the area, it's almost at market rate. But they are obligated to have 50-50 moderate income, which is 80% down to 50% of the median, and then 50% low and very low, which is down to below 30% of the median income. So those low rent, low income and low rent units are a real drag on anybody's profit. That's why in almost every instance, when a 100% affordable project is built, the town ends up executing a pilot agreement in which the taxes are lowered for the full duration. They still pay, but the taxes are way below market rate for the full duration of the project. That's the kind of thing. And then, again, in a full 100%, they get preferred financing. So between the preferred financing from New Jersey Housing Mortgage and Finance and this pilot agreement which reduces their taxes, that's what enables 100% projects to proceed. So if you can envision these two apartment buildings in that sort of a concept, they're going to pay full taxes for that property. And they're going to have to have way below market rate rents for many of the units, many of the affordable units.
Right.
So it's...
And what would the proposed range of prices for the townhouses initially?
You know, that's not something...
I know, but...
It's whatever the market.
I understand that. Here. What if the market doesn't materialize?
Well, the designs we've seen so far have a two-car garage that shares part of the first floor, full second floor. And I don't know if they're going to put dormers, you know, on that up in the attic and use that for an extra office room or something. But they look to be reasonably sized, appealing townhouses. And we've not seen, at least I haven't seen, detailed architecturals at this point in time. Very but good.
Just one comment that I'm not in favor of mm-hmm. these units going in. But of all the units that are mentioned, it seems to me that a big benefit of this particular project would be that homeowners or renters who don't have the wherewithal to purchase a car, or they would have a much better walking access to a lot more services than somebody out on Route 31, which they would need a
yeah.
car to get around.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see that. But it seems to me that you couldn't get – if you could take half that property and put the 28 units in and then put in several townhouses but not fill it up with 140 units –
Well,
maybe she doesn't want to sell the whole thing, and maybe she would like to keep the area, maybe an acre or two behind her house.
I hate to say it this way, but there's no maybe. She signed a contract.
Signed it, okay.
And the contract, as I understand it, means the more units he builds, the more money she gets, is the basic intent of it, okay?
Oh,
so we've been a restraining hand on how much
okay.
can be built.
Okay.
And you can't. You can only restrain it so much.
Well, I understand that.
Okay. So the presumptive density for these kinds of units or developments goes up pretty high. So you know the courts expect a certain relatively high density, which is pretty much where we're at. We're at the bottom end of that.
And then one final thing: does the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection have anything to say with how? Where and how things are built? Has that been taken into consideration already, or is that cert?
It's that's part of a quick look at it, to be honest, is part of judging whether the site is practicable or not. But it really gets a detailed shake when you go through the planning board process. That's when everything gets.
Because I don't know if there's groundwater or underground water on that property, and that would limit it.
I can tell you, looking at the Highlands maps, which illustrates a bunch of different constraints in the DEP maps, there's no kind of hitch in the face environmental issue on that property.
Okay. So I've dealt with the New Jersey Environmental Protection Agency.
God bless you.
Yeah, really.
In that case, the Army Corps of Engineers had to come in and do certain things.
We have to move on to some other.
Yeah, I hope the answers are helpful. There's my rents. Yeah.
My name is Stacy Seipel. I'm an owner at 7 Old Orchard Court, which is Alton Place. I want to confirm one thing, and then I have a question. So I want to confirm that the 108 Alton project and all of the others, the affordable housing components will all be rental units?
Yes.
And then the market values will be all units for sale?
No, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. As far as we know, all of the units in the multifamily dwellings, the two buildings proposed all the way up at the north end, they're all rental apartments.
Okay.
And I believe the townhouses are all for sale, but you know we're pretty much neutral on that. But I believe that is the case.
Right. I mean, I've lived on my own for 35 years. I've lived in rented apartments, I've owned apartments, condominiums, flipped them, townhouses, single family homes. You know. I've gone the gamut. I've lived all over the state of New Jersey in 35 years. I won't tell you how many places. But I have noticed in my experience that people who own take better care of their properties than people who rent. People who rent tend to be more transient and don't care as much. I don't know so much about affordable housing, but as an owner in a neighboring property, I do have concerns about that transient nature. My other question was, since 108 Alton Place is at the bottom of the list in terms of priority, doesn't have water, doesn't have sewer currently, why are you voting or having hearings in regards to this ordinance now, designating this as affordable housing? Why are you not discussing this ordinance when it comes closer to having available water and sewer?
Basically, it's the law. Remember, the first sort of legal action for us as a town in front of Judge Miller in Somerville was a fairness hearing, where we demonstrated to their satisfaction all this stuff is practicable. The next step is called a compliance hearing. The judge is expecting to see this zoning at the compliance hearing as a measure of our good faith, our determination to carry the plan through. When you publish a zoning ordinance, everybody in 200 feet gets notified. That's the legal process.
And then when there is, if there is sewer and water available, it would go to the planning board. New notice would be given.
Right.
And you have a full hearing on the site plan.
Okay. So if we get to a point where you get closer and realize that there will be no water and sewer in that area, will you look elsewhere and then change the zoning back?
Again, remember, the only water and sewer in our whole township comes from one source.
Yeah, I know. We got it.
Look, the infrastructure is very much a blessing and a curse. Alexandria Township, I believe, has a zero requirement because they have no infrastructure.
Well, they have a requirement. I think they took care of its durational.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, the more of this infrastructure we have, the more, in our situation, I think, the greater our obligation would be. That's one of the multipliers in the equation that the judges use.
Right. You know, that's. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just have I have one question.
Well, can we get your name and address?
Francis Fabrizio.
Can you sign?
Alton Place.
Yeah.
22 Mountain View Road, Alton Place. Okay. Getting back to something you said about the golf course that is up for sale, is it possible that it could sell and that the new owners could request a variance and start building houses there? I wasn't sure how it would, why there's a, what's the stopgap that would actually stop that?
Zoning regulations.
But they could come to you and file a variance, correct? And say.
Oh, they could file in front of the planning board, I suppose, if they got water and sewer.
Mm-hmm. They don't have water and sewer now. They don't.
No.
Okay.
So we've got, it would be very difficult. Without knowing all the details of the zoning and the history, which are numerous in Beaverbrook, what I said before was if we falter in satisfying our bargain, our number, that opens up for what Brian called a builder's remedy lawsuit, in which case they can pierce your zoning. That makes it much easier to shove their way in and do what they want. As long as we satisfy our obligations, they can't. We will get a judgment. We want a judgment from the judge when we go to the compliance hearing that basically says you're protected against these kinds of lawsuits. As long as you keep working away like you tell me you're going to work away at this stuff, you're protected. And then it makes it really, really difficult for somebody to come in and use affordable housing as a wedge or a pry bar to take your zoning away.
All right. I mean, I was just curious about, because I mean, with that being for sale,
yeah.
I think that they do want to develop. I think they do want to probably get a developer there.
They want to stop losing money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And I'm just curious if that's going to change if they're able to get water and sewer there, and how would that affect the? I mean, we could end up having, the new Alton Place, and then we can also have houses over there too. So.
Well, you can never say never 10 or 20 years out, but, we've got Right now, we've got the LeCompte project that's mm-hmm. first in line for water.
Right.
We've got Headley Farm that has to decide. Headley could build infrastructure on site and then sort of step back and say, okay, we're going to have our own wells and whatnot. tough process. But until they do that, nothing's – and until LeCompte is satisfied, Headley makes a choice. You know, it's a standstill at Alton Place. And a golf course is not going to get in front of line, you know, in front of that line. There's
okay.
No question.
All right. Thanks for answering my question.
Okay. Yeah, you go ahead. You're more succinct than me.
Hi, I'm Joyce Everett. I live at the Fairways. And I just have a question that I haven't heard asked or addressed yet tonight regarding traffic and the introduction of the possibility of hundreds of additional vehicles within an already busy community. I know getting in and out of Beaverbrook is very difficult, especially during certain times of day. That intersection of Country Club and Route 31 can be dangerous at times. So what's the remedy for that?
That is something that would be provided to the planning board. They are not required to produce a study until they actually make an appearance at the planning board, and then they have to demonstrate what the effect of a development like this would be.
And just on the intersection with 31 and Country Club, that's something that's been on our radar for a couple of years now, and we've been working with the DOT to try to have them make some improvements to make that intersection more safe.
It needs a turn signal because, you know, left turn, it's really,
there are a
really
lot of
dangerous.
Coming down the hill.
Coming down the hill, and you have people running the red. On 31, you have people running the red because they have to get out because they've sat through multiple cycles of light. So it is very dangerous. So that's my concern, is just having additional cars within the community and then the in and out.
And I think we actually have a meeting scheduled with our DOT rep next week. We'll probably bring that and a number of other issues. Blossom Hill is another intersection we've got to work on. So,
yeah.
Okay.
But that comes a lot later in the process.
Thank you.
Uh-oh, man with a smile on his face. These are the dangerous ones.
No, not at all. My name is Robert Parkhani. I'm a constituent, 16 Dartmouth Road. You've heard a lot from our neighbors in Clinton Town. I thought you might want to hear some of a concern of one of your constituents. One of my concerns is more procedural rather than detailed, because I think all of you have done a very good job in addressing some of the concerns of the people here, replacing some of their concerns with other concerns, and they still have concerns that remain. I was at the town meeting a couple of weeks ago, and what I found was some very upset people that the first time they heard about any of this going on was when they received a registered letter in the mail. And so right away, the thought is, what are they trying to do to us? Let's get lawyers, etc. And I think if we would have had this kind of meeting before they got those letters, at least some of that anxiety would have been alleviated. So I just want to encourage the council to communicate with our neighbors and make them part of the decisions. I was surprised how many excellent suggestions I heard from the people here. I don't know if you've thought of those before or not, but I would just like to encourage that communication in the future.
No, point well taken. You know, when I was at Merck, it was kind of interesting. If we were doing something and sent a 200-foot letter out, or the town did, I would send a personal letter from Merck explaining it. Sometimes it's pretty innocuous activities, and sometimes it's not. On this side of the dais, though, it's hard to not follow that procedure strictly, and I do apologize as much as I can for, you know, causing people some angst for a period of time. The point well taken.
All right. Thank you much.
Well, first I'll second that, along with a lot of the other concerns.
But to just get clarification with the water and the sewer. Oh, Therese Storfus, Arcola Way, Annandale, Beaverbrook.
Yeah, got it.
So the water and the sewer, we don't have access to that in Clinton Township. We would have to request it from Clinton Town, correct?
Correct.
And if they are not able to accommodate that, then we would go where to request that?
We don't have anywhere.
So that's it. It's Clinton Town or bus.
The one exception, to be honest, just because of its size, the Headley Farm project has to make a choice. They're of a size, and the parcel is large enough where they may be able to put in a package plant, and they may be able to have their own private water system. But they have to make a decision on that. It's going to be based on, you know, economics, whether they're in a water availability area or not, and those kinds of considerations. But for any other project, Alton Place in particular, there's no other alternative.
There's not Reddington. There's not.
No. Oh my God!
As I understand, had been previously.
You know,
I saw that.
Never been attempted for. For any,
the Windy Acres? Windy Acres?
A certain individual has opined in that direction, but our intention was never to sue Reddington. One. And two, I did hear rumors circulating that we were somehow getting sewer from Reddington. Reddington services Lebanon Borough. Their nearest sewer main is on Route 22 just past Metropolitan Foods. It's miles away.
And uphill.
And they would sue us if we tried to somehow.
You can't sue someone for something they don't have. Yeah.
They have a housing obligation by the judge's formula of about 1,000. So they probably have very substantial needs of their own to satisfy their sewer obligation or their affordable housing obligations. And they're not in the Highlands, so they don't have the ability to kind of portion off
so
part of the town.
The short answer is no, we're not going to go anywhere else to get sewer.
So since she's under contract with a developer right now to sell the property, what generally happens with developers who now are in the process of owning property that can't get the water sewer? I mean, they haven't closed on it. They just have a contract right now pending.
Yeah, it's probably an
all
option
of this.
Contract.
It's an option.
I know that the Beaverbrook Homestead property that we've got was purchased using an option contract, which mm-hmm. basically means that they've agreed and probably provided some money up front to mm-hmm. basically hold it.
Put a deposit on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Waiting for all those
waiting for all the clearances and the approvals to come through.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi.
I'm Vicki Tushak, and I live in the Fairways, and I have a question. You talk about the inability to get sewer. I'm under the understanding that many years ago, Benbrook and Chuck Urban bought sewer capacity, and I have been told that Kerwin has purchased some of that capacity. So can you please address that?
I'm not aware of Kerwin. There has been activity between the Smyskin character and Urban, but I've not heard of anybody associated with Alton Place.
Okay.
But we've acquired.
We've acquired some,
and yeah, the bond ordinance that we introduced this evening would acquire an additional amount of Mr. Benbrook's capacity for use for the 100% affordable projects.
Correct.
Okay. And Chuck Urban?
And the thing, my understanding is, I'm not going to lie, they do have some mm-hmm. capacity,
right.
Very little, though.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
But it's not non-existent, but they don't have significant quantities left either.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he may decide
I can't recall the exact numbers.
I don't know it either, but he could just hold on to it and hold out for the highest bidder at some other
And there are some restrictions on what he can do with that capacity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a series of agreements, and so depending on whether it's being used for residential or non-residential and what the zoning is, the township either has rights of first refusal or has to give consent. It's very complicated, and there's no way that I can summarize it this evening.
No, that's
But yes, they have a little bit of capacity left, not a huge amount.
I don't believe it's quite enough.
I don't know that it's enough to serve Alton Place. I don't want to tell you they have enough for it or not enough.
It's always nice to substantiate or not a rumor.
Well, and that partnership is broken up.
Yes.
It's now the Benbrooks and the residual of, you know, Chuck. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Sure,
thank you. But can I ask just to clarify that, because I'm a little confused. Chuck purchased sewer capacity?
This history from when
Beaverbrook
was first built, the Japanese entity that was building it went bankrupt. Benbrook was the attorney for them. So, and they hadn't paid his fees. So in lieu of payment of cash, they settled up by giving him sewer capacity, and the township attorney at the time, okay. The township attorney at the time okayed it to our regret, our current regret.
They were able to purchase actual sewer capacity, a private citizen.
They took it in lieu of payment. Yes.
And we're still dealing with this. It's still floating out there somewhere that Chuck's got sewer capacity.
Yes.
That he can just.
Yes.
Who's at his.
Yeah.
It's like the bank having a liquor license. They have one. It's an asset. He bought it in the form of an asset.
But in the case of sewers, there's a pretty fundamental question about the legality of it. We're not going to go there.
With the developer who purchased or who's under contract for the Alton Place property?
Not that I'm aware of.
We are not aware of any dealing there. We have heard there is interest on the part of the gentleman down on Allerton Road. I don't know whether agreements have been signed or not, but there has been discussion back and forth from what I'm told.
But his sewer capacity is...
It's not even close.
No.
Down there.
And there's nothing that you can do about that. It's just like, oh, this is grandfathered in, and now this guy gets to have this stuff.
It's 30 years ago, and it is what it is. This council would never have done that.
What is not good.
So sewer capacity is better than half of stock.
In this county, it's extraordinarily important.
But his sewer capacity doesn't serve the 108 Alton Place problem.
No,
it is what it is.
No, but
it doesn't make any sense.
No, we're not, and no one up here is trying to be flippant, because you're actually, I mean, the questions, you've hit it right on the head. I mean, your questions are so on point. The problem is that we've had decades of history, contracts, litigation, and so to the extent that you hear any chuckling, it's more like, yes, this is the road that this township has been going down for years now, trying to figure out how this came to be, how can it remain this way, what can we do about it, and the answer, unfortunately, at the end of the day is, it is what it is, let's make the best of a bad situation. We've done what we could do.
It's incredibly ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
The township made a mistake 30 years ago.
And it's just, yeah.
I guess I'll have to.
We're living with the consequences of it.
Please, come on.
Hey, a follow-up question, if I may. Once again, I'm Stan Benson at 42 Westgate. And I just wanted to comment about the golf course. I'm guessing that they probably have a fair amount of water rights, because I see that they're actually able to water the grass there. And it occurs to me, if they sell half of the golf course, then they may actually have access to water, and they just have a sewer problem to solve.
To be honest, I don't know if Mayor Kovacs is still back there. She's okay. She is really an expert on water. I mean, she runs the business. They have an irrigation permit, which is different than a potable water well permit.
So that may not actually be transferable. And
I am told if you got one, you can't use it for the
other. It's not that easy for them.
That, and I know they had a discussion with Clinton Town, and I think we're told that.
Okay. I thank you. By the way, I personally think you're doing a decent job with a very tough requirement.
So
I know you're not going to hear a lot of that tonight. But
well, appreciate it. Anyone else?
That's all.
Yep. Okay. I know. This is my building right here.
Hello. My name is Sandra Schuler. I live at the Willow Court in Clinton. So listening to all of this, hypothetically, 108 Alton Place does not get sewer and water.
The final plan.
What happens? How does Clinton Township satisfy their settlement with the court?
Again, this durational adjustment feature that we were educated upon about when we started down this path. The durational adjustment basically tolls it.
It parks it. It's banked.
Yeah.
It's just zoning it to accept the affordable housing when the infrastructure is there to support it.
Okay. So if they can't get it, that pretty much stops 108 Alton Place. So really it's up to the town of Clinton. If they come along and say there's no access to sewer and water, then that's pretty much it.
Well, they, of course, would have to have good, logical, legal reason for it.
I was at that meeting to listen to what they have to approve and not.
I believe that's correct. And, you know, what I don't know is when this agreement is done in 2025, you know, what happens then? But that's a whole other set of questions.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Yeah. Thank you.
Next.
Anybody else? Come on up.
This is very unusual. Someone with my same last name.
If you could just identify yourself.
I'm Arthur Schuler. I live on Roxeticus Court. And one of the questions I have is, right now, where we live in the Fairways, there's inadequate parking. And we use St. Ledger Way to park or spillover for holidays and things like that. Now, with this new development coming in and the curb cuts, you said one is up where Annie's driveway is up there.
No.
Or Mary's, all right?
No. Her drive goes out to Alton Place. That'll be closed off.
Oh, the one that goes through. I'm talking. She has an additional one that comes up onto St. Ledger Way.
Oh, excuse me. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But what I was concerned about was the new entrances into this development. Would they line up with the existing ones that are on that road, or are they going to be staggered?
The objective was to do that, yes.
Okay, because right now as we come out and, you know, we wait for the cars, the traffic, now we have to also be aware of the people coming out from the new development. So, okay. And I was wondering, how would that affect the spillover parking? Because it is very tight on St. Ledger when we do park there. Would they still allow that? Or would you allow that?
The road width is the same, so if it's a current practice and there's been no safety hazards or accidents or
whatever. No, I'm not aware of any, but it is tight.
Okay. I don't know why.
And what additional traffic? Okay.
I don't know why we would step in.
Yeah. All right. And one other question I have is, I think he mentioned that years back you gave credits to New Brunswick for housing, and now that's no longer an option.
Yeah.
The money that you did give to that, do we still retain those credits?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, now we can give them back.
All right. And I have one other thing is I've been on that property for 15 years or so. And when I first moved in, we had a sprinkler system that we're able to use. But every year, we have water restrictions now. We haven't been able to use it. They don't even maintain it anymore, okay? With that new development, we don't have enough capacity to maintain even a sprinkler system. We can't even wash our cars in the summer.